If you look at the title of the message on this Mother's Day, Rejoice in the Lord Always, part two, okay? Is that important? And my sincere desire is that your mom may be rejoicing. How many of you desire your mom to rejoice in their souls? Would you say amen? I mean, like, think about it. A little gift, a little nice meal, flowers. I mean, it's nice. But what does that do? Really, what does that do? Okay. This whole week, I thought about today, and I thought about mothers who are coming. My imagination, prayer, whatever you want to call it. But I thought about mothers coming, and I really pray that mothers would be joyful in their souls. But when you think of moms, so many moms are not like that. Isn't that the case? I remember scripture tells me, right? Unless you are in the Lord, you really can't rejoice. That's just bottom line. Unless your mom is in the Lord, there is no joy in their souls. Okay? So, I just want to share a quote by Martin Luther. I send it out to you during the week. The purpose of prayer, because that's what we're going to talk about today, is not to inform or persuade God, but is come before Him. That's what it is. Come before Him. In other words, if you don't come in prayer, you don't come before Him. You're distant from Him, okay? And then he says, "It is to come before Him sincerely, purposefully, consciously, and devotedly." Think about that statement. When someone deals with you, don't you want that person to be sincere to you? Do you want that person to say just whatever the things that it is right to say before your eyes? Do you like people like that? Right? How about purposefully? We come to the Lord for the purpose of glorifying God. That's what the prayer is about. And you come consciously. You never drift into prayer. You never do. That's why most people don't, right? And devotedly. So that as an introduction, I ask you to think about your mom. And someone said, mom's like a thermostat in the house. Thermostat. Okay, you get the picture, right? Whatever the temperature you set on, the whole house is like that. Moms are like thermostat. When moms are stable and happy, children are very stable. But when mom is not, obviously it is very difficult. Mom is very boiling inside and upset and just angry. The whole house is like kind of like standing on their toes. Today, title of the message on this Mother's Day, Lord's Day, is Rejoice in the Lord, Always. Okay? And this is not obviously a joy of emotion that you get when you get a raise or you go on a vacation or you get a cup of like cappuccino, latte. It's not that. Okay? It's not about that at all. For two things are against that. Number one, it says, always. Is that even possible? We talked about this last week. But in fact, that is the will of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning, it is possible. Not only it is possible, it is the right place to be. Okay? Second thing is, it is in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, you cannot have this joy of God. Okay, so it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Then it says, amazingly, the word of God says, for it is the will of God. Will of God. How many of you want to live according to the will of God? I know some of you do. I hope all of you do. You don't care about the will of God. All you care is you. Okay, that's most people. That's the world. But if Lord supernaturally draws you through the gospel, your desire changes. Your desire is to live according to Him because you love Him. Okay? So it is not a human natural emotion when the life circumstances are favorable and perfect, but rather it is the God-given, and I would say, if you look at me, God origin. What was in God was given to us, the joy of the Lord. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 2, when God created human being, He created through what? Dust. Adama. That's in Hebrew. Adama. Dust. Okay? We come from dust. Dust He created, still no life in it. There is no nefesh. There's no life in Him. So what did God do? Do you remember? He breathed. He breathed. Can you picture with me? That's actually the breath of God or the life of God, which was in God. That's what we're talking about, the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord. Do you want that in your mother's heart? Or do you want to just get a little bag or shoes, coupon? You think about it, right? John chapter 14:27 says, Jesus said, "Peace, shalom, I leave unto you, and it is my peace I give to you." Do you picture it? It's not just the emotion that He's talking about. It's my peace. God origin, God resource. The source is from deep within God, the triune God. Imagine God is anxious, worried about things. God is at peace. That's His quality. How do you know? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace. If you notice the proximity, they go hand in hand. Imagine you do not have peace in your soul and you have joy. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense, right? Yes, life is full of unexpected things. I don't know whether you picked that up. Okay, life is full of unexpected things. Stresses, stressful relationship just seem that's impossible. My family dynamic just seems so impossible. Any of you feel like that? My marriage is just feeling like it's just parting million miles apart. We no longer speak the same language kind of feeling. Okay. Issues of children, okay, future, sickness, financial, ever-ending, never-ending burden. It feels like life is full of unexpected things and disappointments, sadness, frustration, and almost seem hopeless. To so many people, it is hopeless. And we ask this question, what's the point? Will it ever gonna end? Will it ever get better? So when we come to end, what is it going to look like? We ask these questions. And the answer that Christianity and Christ offer is this. Are you ready to listen to this? I hope you'll listen. You'll listen. All you weary and heavy burden, come to me. Come to me. He's speaking to the whole world, humanity. All you weary and heavy burdened, which is entire humanity, including your mom, come to me. And then He promises an amazing thing. And I will give you rest, or shalom and peace in your heart. That's the Christian gospel. It's not just make you things go better because you become a Christian and your life goes well and you become prosperous. Those are all cheap and lies. Those are not it. But Bible promises that, and Jesus promised that, come to me. And He is near. The Lord is near. If you come to me, I'm going to give you rest to your soul. Okay? Today's text kind of picks up from that. I wasn't going to speak three messages on this one topic, but today being Mother's Day, I thought about mom. I thought about moms who will be coming here, and I wanted to share the gospel. Because without the gospel, without being in the Lord, she will never will have joy in their souls. She will never. Okay? So, with that said, let me begin with what Jesus said about prayer. I love these two verses. Whatever you ask in my name, that's what prayer is. You ask in my name, meaning that's not a formula, that's not a magical phrase that you need to say like, I don't know, abracadabra or something, right? It's not that. We're talking about your living life relationship with him. Is Jesus Lord of your life? That's what it means, right? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He said, I'm going to do it. You ask, I'm going to do it. I love that dynamic. We only ask, and he does it. So that, the purpose of prayer, Father may be glorified. Did you know that, right? Everything, including prayer, is for the glory of God. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Do you remember how? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Revere is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is about God, people. Unless you are in the Lord, you do not pray like that. You do not pray like that. You pray according to your will. If you are in Christ, he will adjust your prayer and or he will answer in a better ways. But if you are not Christ, that prayer is meaningless. Okay? So, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he repeats, if you ask me, if you pray to me, anything, can you imagine that? What a blank check that is, right? God is saying, anything in my name, I'll do it. That's what prayer is, okay? So, where do we begin? So, where do we begin about having this rest in the soul of your mothers? Do they have peace in their hearts? I'm really asking you. Okay, I know there are some mothers here, and there are young mothers here, and there are future mothers here. But when I think mothers, mothers are so worried about their children, about their future, about their finance, about their husband, about their marriage, about everything. Right? So, Here's the text. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. That's the great truth of the gospel. The Lord is near. He's right next to me, and he's coming imminently. In light of that, we live. Okay? The Lord is near. And if you notice, Lord is near, therefore you pray. Okay? Do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition or supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay? So he's basically saying, worry about nothing and pray about everything. But most people worry about everything, pray nothing. Do you see it? That's what prayer is, okay? And then the promise is then the peace of God, peace from God, peace originated from God, sourced from God, the peace that was within God, right? Which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's the text for today. So where do we begin? First, we need to draw near. You need to come to Christ. Your moms need to come to Christ. There is no other way. Okay? Draw near. Come to him. Right? And Paul's letter to Philippians, this letter, we're kind of coming to the end of it. His beloved, treasured church at Philippi. Paul and the scripture says, do not worry about anything and pray about everything. What is prayer? Drawing near to God. Without prayer, you're so distant from him. Lord is near, but you're so distant from him. It's almost like one-sided love, isn't it? He's so near, but your heart is just so far from him. And what else is that? The prayer is not only drawing near to God, and you are learning to trust Him. Learning to trust Him. Without prayer, who do you trust? You. Whoever is reigning in your life. Right? Bible and God knows that we human beings are warring people. How many of you agree with that? Human beings are warring people. How many of you agree with that? Everybody worries. Some people more than others. What are some signs of worries? You get very, very anxious, right? You begin to think about certain things, and you begin to get anxious. And that anxious begins to take you over, so you become very rushing. Because you want things to be in control, but soon you realize that nothing is in your control, right? So you become very, very anxious. What are next symptoms? You begin to withdraw from people. Everyone begins to just kind of annoy you. And you begin to think about this all day, even when you lie down and turn off the light. And you can't fall asleep. You wake up middle of the night and you worry about it. Think about it and you get very, very anxious. Bible and God knows that we human beings are anxious and worrying people. What do we do about it? And what are the things or the objects do we worry about? Can we think about that? What do you worry about? What actually do you think about and worry about? Okay, you maybe worry about your job. Will this go wrong? What if this goes wrong? Right? I talked to some people on Friday. What are some things you worry about? You know, I treat patients. What if things go wrong? Right? What if we don't have enough money? What if I lose my job? What if my mom gets really sick? She has cancer. What if my child doesn't really grow up properly? We worry about all these things, and probably the best way it could be summed up is in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus himself summed it up. This is what he said. We worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, and then he says, about our body. That's what we worry about. Will I have a house? Will I have enough money? All right? What we will eat, what we will drink, what about our body, and what you will put on, which is another clothing, right? And then he said amazing thing, and which is what he's doing is reasoning with you. Would you answer this question? Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Can any of you by worrying add one more day to your life? And the answer is, it's a rhetorical question. You can't. And yet we worry. We look at YouTube things constantly, and they pass around with passion, right? You gotta read this. You gotta see this for your health and your longevity of your life. So foolish, right? But that's what we human beings do. What do we worry about? So we worry about this body. We worry about what eat, drink, and how we're going to pay, rent, job, house, things, physical things, and you worry about this life. And that's what we do. And Jesus reasons with you, is not your life more than food? Now, can you think with me? What's more important, food or your life? That's a dumb question, right? Of course life is. And then Jesus says, is your body more important or your clothing more important? That's a dumber question. Of course body is more important. We know life is more than food and the body is more than clothing, but in reality, we don't live like that. We work, as if body doesn't care. 60, 70, 80, 90 hours. Is that possible? Seems like it is, actually. We don't really care for our body. We don't really care about our life. We don't really care about our marriage. We don't really care about how our children grow. We do, but we don't. Makes no sense. But most importantly, we don't really care about our soul. That's what moms do. They work. I remember my dad passed away years ago. His life was family, work, and church. That was it. I don't know whether that describes your father or you. That was his life. Work, family, stay home, and church. Now, if you take out church, all you got is your family, family life, and work. That's how people live. They work until they get sick, until they get old, until they get sad. A lot of mothers and fathers are sad. They have no emotion. Right? So that's really what Jesus is saying, you know. Yet people live, work, strive, worry about food and physical things, not caring about their life, particularly not caring about their souls. Let me add one more question to you, okay? Another rhetorical question Jesus may be asking you. Just as your life is more than your body, and your body is more than your clothes, isn't your life eternal more important than this transient life? I hope you say yes to that, because that's a rhetorical question, and yet you do not live with that truth like fools. Okay? Bible is saying, Jesus is saying, do not worry about these things, because worry doesn't add 1 hour to your life. Worry doesn't produce anything in your life. It's so non-productive. It's pointless. In fact, it's going to chew you up thoroughly inside. It's going to chew you up. That's how people live. That's how moms live. That's how dads live. Rather than draw near to prayer and to trust, we continue to resist and be stubborn. Okay? Can I explain something about prayer? Okay? Prayer is an amazing reality. Now think about it. It's not my relationship with, let's say, Tim. It's our human relationship. Tim is my, like, son. That's a human relationship. We don't pray to each other. We don't. I don't, yeah. It's not a human relationship. Prayer is not a natural human relationship. It's a supernatural relationship. If God is not a person with a mind and will and emotion, you can't really communicate with him, but prayer, you can. Jesus said, pray to me in my name, and I'm going to do it. Okay? Not only that, if the person that you're praying to is not sovereign and powerful, why would you even bother to do that? Right? He can't help you. He cannot help you, then why would you even bother to ask him? It doesn't make any sense. And secondly, even if it is so powerful and strong and sovereign, if he doesn't care for you, why would you pray to him? If he's your enemy, how would you pray to him? Unless he loves you and he cares for you, right? So that's the reality. It says that if you think about prayer, it's an amazing reality. Second thing about this relationship is that needs to be in the Lord. Without it, prayer doesn't work. It may sound so harsh, but I read James Montgomery Boyce saying, prayer is exclusively Christian. Oh, I know you're getting upset right now. People all over the world, they pray. All religion teaches prayer. Correct? Some people do the beats, and some people memorize certain things. Some people do some rituals before they pray, but they all pray. The truth of the matter is humanity, entire human beings, we are very, very religious. You know why? Because that's the way we are made. We seek for eternity. We seek for meaning. We seek for God. And the truth. All religion pray, And you may be praying, but unless you are in Christ, God does not answer your prayer. Because it has to be in Jesus' name. Right? Isn't that what he said? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. But the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you are not in Christ, what are you then? Scripture says you are not a neutral, nice person. You are in enmity with God. You despise him. You hate him. You deliberately dismiss him. You ignore him. In fact, the Bible says, you may disagree with that, you hate him. Okay? In other words, you are sitting on the throne of your life. You are the one who's reigning in your life. You do whatever you want to do. You go whatever you want to go, wherever you want to go. You spend your money on wherever you want to spend. You do everything for yourself. God has nothing, no place in you. And you're going to pray to him and he's supposed to answer? Makes no sense, right? It has to be in Jesus' name, right? All religion pray, but Bible speaks very, very clearly. In Isaiah 45, there is only one true God, and all the others are idols. Now stay with me. Can we reason? Can you think with me? Bible is full of teaching and doctrines and truth. There is no other God. All the other, quote, gods are idols. Is that true or lie? It has to be either true or lie. What do you think? Can you think about that? Is that really true? There is only other God. There is no other God before the Lord. I am the Lord and there is no other God. He repeats that several times in Isaiah 45. Now think, do you believe that or is that a lie? It has to be one or the other. Now, faith is you need to respond to that truth. That's what faith is. Salvation is you making the right, intelligent response to that truth by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what salvation is. Christianity, like none other, it's a thinking religion. You have to think. It's not like you do mystical things and you take bread and wine and somehow you're saved. It doesn't work like that. You first need to understand the truth, and you need to think, and you need to respond. So what is your position? What do you believe? Do you believe? Or do you not think? Problem with most people is they don't think. People in this generation, I think the enemy is doing that, help you not to think. Let me give you some examples. I know I've been talking about this. You're looking at social media for 2-3 hours a day. Are you thinking? What are you thinking? Instagram, right? I don't want to pick on certain things, but Instagram or Twitter. You don't do Facebook, right? That's just too primitive. I only do Facebook with African friends. Does that make you think? When you watch YouTubes, when you watch dramas or K-dramas, does that help you think? I think the enemy is doing a great job. Make sure people don't think, especially to think the truth. And therefore, we live in lies like fools. Does that make any sense? If you notice, you know, this verse, it says, right after he speaks about prayer, guess what he thinks about next? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. What do you think about? And you think about all these crazy things and you're gonna trust the Lord? It makes no sense, right? You are, Bible says, what you think. Bible says you are what you think. You talk about money all the time, that's who you are. You're thinking about giving a revenge to someone, that's who you are. Okay? Bible makes it clear that we human beings are not at peace with him. Rather, we are in rebellion. We are in enmity with Him. We were born with a nature deep within our soul. And all of you, that's why you cannot love each other without supernatural intervention of the gospel. You could never really love anyone. Okay? We were born with this deep nature in our bone and DNA to hate Him and despise Him, and we call that sin nature, corrupted nature. And that's you, that's me. That's why we're sad. That's why we're unhappy. That's why our, you know, emotional temperature is always low or way high. It's not stable. Do you follow people? And that includes your moms as well. Let us reason together one more time. By the way, my language is from the Bible, Isaiah 1:18. This is what God said to the Israelites. Lord God said to his people, come now and let us reason together. Come now and reason together. Would you reason with me? Would you think with me, people? If there is no other God, and all the other gods are idols, you need to make up your mind. You need to think about it. For you to just continue to live, I don't care, I'm just going to follow idols, you're a fool. Because I've seen a lot of people over the last 6 months, that's my idol. Remember we read that book, Vital Grace, and that's my idol? What did you do with your idol? You still hold on to it as an idol. Makes no sense. You're not thinking. You're watching social media 2-3 hours a day, pouring toxin into your soul. We had a prayer meeting yesterday. That's toxin into your soul. That's what you think about. Oh, Jimmy went to Greece. Oh, yeah, Sarah bought a house. Oh, Sally ate that wonderful food. That's what you think about. You are what you think, people. That's what the scripture says. And God is saying to you, let us reason together. Let us reason. Be reasonable, in other words. Human beings, be reasonable. That's what He's saying. If you are the king of your life, then you are in control. Your life is in your hand. Basically, you reign, you make all the decisions, and you do, and you live whichever the way you think is the best and what's best for you. And let me ask you a question. Does that work? What does that look like? You're in a mess. We know that. Does that work? You're anxious. You're worried. Worried about what? All these good things, the earthly things, eventually you're worrying about, am I going to lose that or no? Scripture says this is the truth. All these things that you treasure, you work, and you try to gather, and you try to hold on to, everything you hold on to, Scripture makes it clear, you're going to lose it all at the end. You're going to lose it all at the end. Okay? The Bible says, not only that, you're going to stand before God. Please look at me. Okay. You're going to stand before God. We are anxious because we are worried because we don't know the future and we are uncertain about future. Correct? Scripture makes it clear that you're going to lose it all. One day you're going to lose it all. Even your family, even your marriage, even your degree, even your health, all good things, you're going to have to let go and you're going to stand. That's the truth, people. Could you reason with me? Is it worth living and worrying and going nuts and war to own these things? Makes no sense, right? So what do we do? That's why Christ came and He says, look at me, come to me. But you refuse to come to Him. You continue to resist and you love sin. You love to live the way you want to live. And later. But Jesus says, come to me. You got to get off the train that I've been saying, right? Which leads to destruction, which is what this world is heading toward to. You got to get off. Not, oh, I know I need to get off. One day, I got to get off. I know. Pastor Paul, you don't have to remind me. I know. I'm going to go to Bible study, but you don't get off. You know your idol, but you never let go. You move from one idol to another idol, one addiction to another addiction. That's human beings. That's why we worried. We are anxious. And Bible says, and Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Okay? You need to be in the Lord, and prayer is exclusively Christian. It's in Jesus' name, people. It's not whatever you think. Can you possibly think stupid things, like crazy selfish things in Jesus' name? I want Pastor Paul to have $10 million in Jesus' name. Does it make any sense? Makes no sense. Makes no sense, right? In order for you to come to him, you must turn. You must get off. But people don't. Okay? But I'm going to just continue to cry out to you and proclaim it to you. You need to turn. You need to get off. Your moms need to turn. And they need to get off. They need to come to Christ. Okay? You need to get off from the throne of your life. And you need to enthrone Christ into your life. That's just basically what the scripture is saying, what the prayer is saying. Then the promise, simple promise, okay? And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thinking too, and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's an amazing promise. How many of you have peace of God in your... Don't say amen if you're not sure. How many of you have peace of God in your soul? Could you say amen? You will never have a peace of God unless you are in peace with God. Unless you are in peace with God, you will never have a peace of God. It makes no sense. You're an enemy of God. How would you have peace in your soul? If you don't have peace in your soul, how would you rejoice? That's why we see so many sad, angry people. Angry mothers. Demanding mothers. Controlling mothers. Unreasonable mothers. Because your soul is not at peace, and you do not have peace. Okay. It's peace of God that is promised. Peace that originates from the triune God. Just as he breathed life unto you, it has come from him. It's the peace of God. Or else you're going to be worrying and anxious for the rest of your life. That's why Jesus is saying, come to me. I pray for mothers. I have an elderly mother. And today's Mother's Day. And I took her to a beauty saloon for her hair this week. I drove her. She dyed her hair and she had a little cut. And she looks good. She looks so young. So I took a picture. And I've been telling her, today's Mother's Day, Mom, would you please select what you're going to wear, so we're going to take a family picture together. And my prayer is this, that she will have peace in her soul, which she does. She's been with the Lord all her life, basically. She prayed for me all my life. She prayed for my brother all my life. I'm such a blessed person in this sense. If mothers are praying, you're such a blessed person. But that's not everybody, I know. But here are mothers sitting here. You have an opportunity to bless your children because you are like the thermometer of your household and your marriage and your family. If you're unstable, your children will grow up unstable. Obviously. If you're angry, your children growing up watching angry person all their lives. Think about it, people. Mothers and fathers need to repent and come before the Lord. And I really think about, I really thought about today, and I thought about mothers. And I ask you to think about your mothers. If you're a mother, think about your life. Because you're like the thermostat. You really have an influence to your children and to your family and to your marriage. You do, you do. Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Okay, therefore, since we have been justified, since we have been saved, you need to be in the Lord to any of these to make sense to you. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's done. Already happened. We have peace with God. Before, you were in enmity with God. You understand that? That's why you're anxious. You're worried. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace. You are now living in a different world. And the world is full of grace, full of love. You are not an enemy of God. You are a beloved target of his grace. You are the bullseye of his grace. God is looking for you. You're in a very, very different place. So you need to come to the Lord. Or else there is no peace. There is no peace. Bible says there is no peace. Unless you have peace with God, you will have no peace in your soul. And you better be. Because unless you do that, you will never come to Christ. Okay? It's like a train, isn't it? Only through Jesus and the Lord, you have peace with God. Now you could have a peace with God. When you have peace with God, now then you could have joy. Not cheap joys because I'm going on a vacation or promotion or buying something. No, those are cheap joys. But you have peace with God and you have peace of God and you rejoice and you're full of hope. You could be in full of hope. Because your soul and life is in the sovereign hand of God forever and ever. And he's going to love you and care for you forever and ever. Are you in the Lord? Could you reason with me? What is the thing that you are, what's holding you not to come to Christ? Would you reason with me? What is the thing you treasure so much? You hear this message again and again and again, and you kind of push it off. Could you reason with me? If you have a good reason, please tell me. If it is a dumb reason, please turn. Okay? I want to close. Rejoice always in the Lord. Mothers, I pray that you will rejoice. How many of you want to see your mothers rejoice in the Lord? Would you say amen? With all my heart. With all my heart. My mom lived 85 years, a blessed life. She had her share of whatever, difficulties and sicknesses and whatnot, but she came to know the Lord in early years. And her hope and desire is to be with the Lord. I know. A couple of months ago, I asked her, Mom, you know, I have dinner with her every evening. Mom, do you think about going to heaven? And she doesn't talk much, and she goes, of course. I talk to him all the time. And then I was a little bit surprised, so I says, so what does God say to you? Said. And she goes, he doesn't say anything. She just said, he just goes. And I was rejoicing, people. I was really rejoicing. Her hope is in God, in heaven. And God is basically saying, in my time, in my time. Do you follow people? What is the reason that you will not get off the train? Do you have a good reason? Let's reason together, people. Only in Christ, in the Lord, only through his cross, and his death for you, You are no longer the enemy of Christ. Now you are in the Lord, and you have such supernatural relationship with the Lord, then you could rejoice. And I just pray that that truth and that blessing may be upon you and upon your mothers on this Mother's Day. Rejoice always in the Lord. Mothers, rejoice. Let's pray.